You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, June 11th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Oh my goodness, all sorts of great stuff going on for today's show. Our guest today at half past is Michael Kravitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. He's been doing a lot of work on the international level, dealing with the United Nations and those organizations involved in international drug reform. We'll get his take on what's been happening lately at the international level and what's going on in America as far as veterans' access to medical cannabis. It's always good to talk to Michael Kravitz on the show. Also coming up on the show today, a very, very heated radical rant coming up. We have got the Responsible Ohio Amendment to talk about today. This is the news is out now that they have qualified for the ballot. Well, they haven't qualified for the ballot. They've gotten enough signatures to qualify for the ballot. They've way overshot their signature goal, and it looks like Ohioans will be voting on both recreational and medical legalization in Ohio in 2015. That's just 6 months away from that election. Amazing stuff. And I'm going to go off on the rant today because I've had people bugging me on social media about my support for Responsible Ohio, my support for voting to end marijuana prohibition in Ohio. I know it's weird to think I'd have to defend that, but I do, because the way the Responsible Ohio proposal is set up is probably the shittiest legalization that I can support. It's not got a very good business plan. We'll get into the details of all of that and why it's still important to support legalization in Ohio this year and not bank on perhaps, maybe, perhaps someday there'll be legalization to vote for that's better. Also coming up on the show today in Drug War Data Mining, we're taking another look at Governor Chris Christie and how his views on marijuana legalization comport with the other Republican candidates for the presidency in 2016, as well as the Republican electorate. Turns out Chris Christie is on the wrong side of history. Also on the show today, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at our friend Kevin Sabet. That's right, the head of Project Sam. He was recently in Helena, Montana, delivering his Reefer Madness lecture. We'll tell you just how much that cost the taxpayers of Montana per attendee. You'll be pretty stunned. But of course, we start everything off with the 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, we've got great news from the Supreme Court of Canada regarding medical marijuana. We've got legalization taking root in Michigan with two different initiative proposals. The Senate Appropriations Committee has approved states' rights to medical marijuana. We've got the more news on Responsible Ohio and competing ballot initiatives that have now fallen by the wayside, and a report out of the state of Ohio on how much support there is for legalization, how much money would be generated by legalization, and how the legislature is looking to stop the cartel monopoly on marijuana in Ohio. It's like all Ohio Day here on the Russ Belville Show. I hope folks out there are listening. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the 420 Radio News right after this. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Foggy Roller Ring.
This is Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night for some good old soul, funk, and disco at the Funky Roller Rink on 420 Radio. You dig?
Come join the fun at the CannaCon Expo, the nation's largest cannabis marketplace for products, services, and ideas. CannaCon is where the cannabis industry does business. CannaCon is coming to the Colorado Convention Center in downtown Denver, kicking off Thursday, June 11th through Saturday, June 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org. That's CannaCon, CannaCon.org. If you're looking for the best deals on growing gear and the most innovative products in the market, don't miss CannaCon. CannaCon will provide you with the opportunity to meet and do business directly and most affordably with the grow gurus and suppliers. CannaCon seminars are designed to be informal, open, and an educational conference where growers, processors, retailers, suppliers, and consultants can frankly discuss issues that impact this thriving industry. Don't miss CannaCon coming to the Colorado Convention Center June 11th through Saturday the 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 11th, 2015. Medical marijuana patients in Canada can legally use all forms of the drug, the Canadian Supreme Court has ruled. Medical marijuana patients will now be able to consume marijuana, not only smoke it. Cannabis oil is now permitted instead of only dried marijuana, meaning people can bake it into food products. The case began in 2009 when a baker from the Cannabis Buyers Club of Canada was charged with trafficking and unlawful possession of marijuana. Former head baker of the club, Owen Smith, was caught baking 200 pot cookies, CBC reports. A British Columbia judge acquitted Mr. Smith and gave Canada's government a year to change the laws around extracting marijuana. The Supreme Court ruled that prohibiting possession of non-dried forms of marijuana is, quote, contrary to the principles of fundamental justice because they are arbitrary. The effects of the prohibition contradict the objective of protecting health and safety, end quote. The Senate Appropriations Committee approved a provision Thursday that would protect medical marijuana operations from federal crackdown in states where the substance is legal. The committee passed the measure by a vote of 22-8 as an amendment to the Commerce, Justice, and Science Appropriations Bill for fiscal year 2016. The amendment blocks the Department of Justice, which includes the Drug Enforcement Administration, from using appropriated funds to interfere with medical marijuana programs in the states that have legalized the drug for medical purposes. The same measure passed through both houses of Congress last year and ultimately made it into the federal spending bill signed into law by President Barack Obama in December. The committee's passage of the provision follows its approval of a historic measure in May to allow Department of Veterans Affairs doctors to recommend medical marijuana to their veteran patients. Currently, VA doctors are banned from doing so. Two Michigan marijuana legalization committees racing to the 2016 ballot cleared an early hurdle Thursday in Lansing, although one of the groups faced a bit of pushback in the process. The Board of State Canvassers on Thursday approved the form of separate petitions from the Michigan Cannabis Coalition, MCC, and the Michigan Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Committee, MCC-LRC. That means both committees can begin circulating petitions for their initiated legislation and attempt to collect the 252,523 signatures required to make the ballot in 2016. Both potential ballot proposals would legalize the possession or use of recreational marijuana by adults 21 years of age or older and allow for sales at retail shops. Under MCC, the legislature would have authority to set the marijuana tax rate. MCCLRC, meanwhile, is proposing its own tax rate for marijuana sales, a 10% excise tax on top of the state sales tax. A marijuana legalization plan, which was shooting for a spot on the Ohio ballot, has abandoned its efforts. The organization Better for Ohio will drop its plan because petition costs were too expensive, Ed Howard, the prime backer, told the Blade of Toledo. Better for Ohio was approved last month by the Ohio Ballot Board to begin collecting the 305,591 signatures necessary to get on the November 3rd ballot, but the cost of gathering signatures was getting astronomical, Howard told the Blade. Howard's plan was taken, literally, from another proposal by Responsible Ohio, with some modifications. Howard wanted 40 pot-growing sites, while Responsible Ohio proposes 10. Responsible Ohio, which said it has gathered more than 550,000 signatures, has until July 1st to submit its petition to the Secretary of State. Responsible Ohio has been criticized as being a marijuana cartel or monopoly because only investors who contribute to the campaign would be allowed to grow pot if the amendment passes. Meanwhile, Hamilton County Prosecutor Joseph T. Dieters says in a new report that Responsible Ohio's legalization plan would create nearly 35,000 direct and indirect jobs in the state and generate an annual economic output of $7 billion. The report, prepared by a task force appointed by Dieters last month, was funded exclusively by Responsible Ohio. Meanwhile, Ohio state lawmakers are working to suppress any legislation that could use constitutional amendments to create monopolies. They are currently working to place an anti-monopoly issue on this year's ballot alongside Responsible Ohio's pro-pot plan. Responsible Ohio spokesman Ian James told the Dispatch he sees this as a simple attempt to undercut the initiative. "When they can't beat us, they try to cheat us," he said. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 11th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
.420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where we take a look at our good friend Kevin Sabet, PhD. He's the director of the Drug Policy Institute at the University of Florida and the co-founder of Project SAM, Smart Approaches to Marijuana. And of course, in that role, he is basically the nation's leading anti-legalizer. He travels about the country lecturing drug prevention folks and rehabbers and law enforcement people on the need to keep marijuana illegal. I got to tell you, in 2014, when Kevin Sabet did his marijuana
education tour here in Oregon. One of my favorite things was traveling along with him and going to every location that he spoke at and seeing tiny crowds. I guess that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? A tiny crowd. But, you know, we'd have rooms where there was 18, 20 people that had shown up to see Kevin. Some of the more rural places, there's like 15, maybe a dozen people came to see Kevin. There, to be fair, there was one auditorium where he drew maybe 60 people. Now, the following week, I had the opportunity to follow Rick Steves, the PBS travel guru around the state of Oregon, at his presentations for legalization. And almost everyone was a standing room only situation where there are hundreds of people turned out to see Rick Steves talk for legalization. Well, the latest story I get here in the Newswire just brings a smile to my face, knowing that it's gotten worse and worse for Kevin Sabet. This comes from the Independent Record in Helena, Montana. The headline is, "Marijuana legalization push is about money," former drug policy advisor says during speech in Billings. Kevin Sabet said, quote, "Legalization is about one thing, and that's money. It's about profit," end quote. Now, the reason that's kind of funny to me is because in my 2014 actions, record searches that I did, I was able to prove that Kevin Sabet gets $3,000 per appearance. Now, maybe he's got a different contract for Montana. I can't guarantee that he's making that much, or maybe he's even making more. But at least in Oregon, when he appeared, it was $3,000 per appearance. Now, you want to guess how many people he appeared in front of in Helena, Montana? Well, according to the report here in the independent record of Helena, about a dozen. Says about a dozen people showed up for the lecture, a 3-hour lecture. So if you work that out, it works out to 250 taxpayer dollars per attendee to listen to Kevin Sabet say things like, quote, "The Cheech and Chong pot from 20 years ago is nothing compared to what we have today," end quote. Now, he tried pulling that off in Oregon, and I brought up the fact, I've got High Times magazines from the 70s that talk all about high potency pot, sensimilia, and hashish that was being used by people like Cheech and Chong. Sure, maybe your average college student in the dorm in University of Montana wasn't getting very powerful weed in the 70s, but I can guarantee you Cheech and Chong were. Now, he says that the legalization is only about getting high, it's only about profit, and he addressed some of the common arguments for legalization. He said that it's a myth that marijuana is harmless and non-addictive. Now, see, the problem is nobody on the legalization side says that marijuana is harmless and non-addictive. We say it's less harmful than alcohol. We say it's about as addicting as caffeine. So Kevin likes to make $250 per attendee fighting straw men. He also says that it's a myth that eaten or smoked marijuana has medicinal value. I think 23 states would beg to differ there, Kevin, and numerous studies and reports that have been posted in the past 2 decades show quite a bit of medical use of cannabis in this country and as accepted by medical professionals. We're in the 80 to 85% range of public support for medical marijuana. So him continuing to beat the drum that marijuana is not medicine is only good for our side. He also claims it's a myth that countless people are behind bars for smoking marijuana. Well, that's true. It is a myth that countless people are behind bars because we can count them. At any given time in America, there are 40,000 people behind bars simply for possession of marijuana, whether that's in a prison or a jail or a holding facility, people are being held behind bars for smoking marijuana. He also likes to point out the one death, the Levi Tamba death in Colorado, who ate the marijuana edible and then jumped off of a hotel balcony, as if that were some sort of epidemic. We've had two years of full legalization in Colorado, and one guy who jumped off a balcony is the only death you've got to show for it. And he also said that he's never smoked pot, but that doesn't mean he can't opine on it.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
Gotta get this quote in. He says, people think they can talk because they've done marijuana. But that's kind of like saying you can only talk about suicide if you've committed suicide. End quote. Oh, Kevin. You're so amusing. Speaking of doing marijuana, it's 20 after in Denver. About time I did some myself. We'll be right back with the Drug War Data Mines.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everybody. In the Data Mines today, we continue our look at rotund New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who reiterated his intention to crack down on marijuana in the legal marijuana states this Sunday on CBS's Face the Nation. He said he would return federal prosecution to those states and go after marijuana in those states. He says legalization would be turned off. Now, that would be a big problem for the licensed growers and retailers in the states, but it wouldn't do anything to those of us who are consumers. In Colorado, Washington, Alaska, and Oregon, they cannot be forced to recriminalize marijuana by the federal government. States are free to set their own policies with regard to criminal statutes. And any attempt to overrule that is going to get some pretty strong objections from the people in those states who've come to enjoy legalized marijuana. So basically, if Chris Christie had his way, we would all turn into Washington, D.C., where we're allowed to grow marijuana for ourselves, we're allowed to possess marijuana for ourselves, smoke it for ourselves, and share it freely with each other, but there'd be no pot shops and there'd be no commercial grows. All that would do, Mr. Christie, is exacerbate the black market that legalization is supposedly there to alleviate. If people have the right to possess it and grow it, but nowhere to buy it, well, you can bet there's going to be plenty of people selling it. Now, Chris Christie has distinguished himself from the other Republicans in the clown car right now that are fighting for the GOP nomination. Carly Fiorina, the former Hewlett-Packard CEO, disagreed with Chris Christie, saying Colorado voters made a choice. I don't support their choice, but I do support their right to make that choice. And that's pretty common among the Republican candidates. Most of them are coming out with a states' rights stand. They're saying, legalization is bad. I wouldn't do it. But if Colorado wants to do it, who's to stop them? If Washington wants to do it, who's to stop them? And it's a very politically smart move on the part of these Republicans. The recent study from the Pew Research Center found that 3/5 of Americans think the feds should not enforce federal marijuana laws in the states that legalized pot. And in 2012, a CBS News report found that 65% of Republicans thought laws regarding whether the use of marijuana is legal or not should be left to each individual state government to decide. And that's only with a quarter of them actually supporting Colorado's legalization. So a quarter of Republicans supported the legalization, but almost two-thirds of them said that's their right to do so. So why would Chris Christie put himself on the wrong side, not only of history, but of what appears to be the standing position of the Republicans who would conceivably vote for him in the primaries? Now, he's not the only one. There's enough Republicans in the clown car now that we can find a couple others who support Chris Christie's idea of the feds cracking down on legal marijuana. Marco Rubio told talk radio host Hugh Hewitt, quote, when asked whether he'd enforce the federal drug laws, he said, yes, I think we need to enforce our federal laws. Now, do states have a right to do what they want? They don't agree with it, but they have their rights, but they don't have a right to write federal policy as well. So, well, what are you for there, Marco? Straddling the line there, but it sounds like he'd be for federal intervention. Then there's Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina senator. In 2010, he wrote a letter to a constituent and said he doesn't think complying with state law should protect medical marijuana suppliers from federal prosecution. He wrote, quote, I do not support this policy as I feel it is tantamount to federal legalization of medical marijuana and creates an inconsistent federal enforcement policy between the states. And he says, if marijuana is half as bad as alcohol, that's probably good enough reason to keep it illegal. So Graham, Rubio, and Christie out of the, what is it, dozen? Like there's 10, 11, 12? I don't know how many are in the car now, but seems like they're going to be the crackdown on weed wing. Now, we also have the Conservative Political Action Conference that took place last March. Ted Cruz responded to legalization in Colorado. He said, quote, I actually think this is a great embodiment of what Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis called the laboratories of democracy. If the citizens of Colorado decide they want to go down that road, that's their prerogative. I personally don't agree with it, but that's their right. And so Ted Cruz seems to have come around on a federalist position with respect to medical marijuana. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush said something very similar. Former Texas Governor Rick Perry says he's a staunch promoter of the 10th Amendment and agrees. And of course, Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, the most libertarian Republican, definitely supports the right of the states to set their own marijuana policies. Now, Chris Christie, you know, he is going to want to shut down the marijuana, the legal marijuana in Colorado and Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. And again, we found that the millennial Republicans also support legalization. 63% of the millennial Republicans support legalization. And while their votes might not matter too much at this point, since millennials are very loath to vote, they will be the voters in future elections, and they're very pro-marijuana.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our Cannabis Community Chat. And in the chat today, we'll be speaking with Michael Krawitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. He's been working as an activist for veterans and medical cannabis for years now, and also very prominent on the international drug reform scene. We're dialing out to him right now via Skype and don't seem to have a connection. Let's try that again, see if we can get in touch with him at his home number. But again, Michael Krawitz, fighting for veterans medical cannabis access. He was a part of a group that helped to get the Veterans Administration to relent on taking away pain contracts, the pain medications, from veterans who had signed pain contracts that forbid them from using both medical cannabis and opioid pain relievers. Michael, are you on the line? Do we got you now?
Michael is mowing. Hold on a second. Let me go get him.
Okay, thank you very much. Mowing the lawn. Okay, well, we'll...
chores around here.
Got to get some chores done, I suppose. Yes. Michael Krawitz out mowing the lawn on this beautiful day.
Totally forgot about the time.
I guess he did. We'll see if we can get him in here, though. That's how you know we're doing the show live, folks. We got to interrupt people mowing their lawns.
Sorry, he's not looking at me. I'll yell in your ear again.
That's okay.
Hey, Michael!
How about you have him, I'm going
to
run a commercial and then we'll have him on,
yeah,
on the air. Okay, thanks so much. We'll be right back. Michael, damn it, get on the phone. Feels like the old, one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. That's right. No, mowing the lawn is not code for getting high. That's Michael trying to get on the phone here. Sorry for the delay, folks. We'll be with Michael in just a moment. All right, let's try our phone line again. Michael, do we have you on the line?
Now.
He's still out there mowing.
He's like, oh.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's it's my chat room is loving it. They think it's hilarious.
First time I've actually been on the radio for him.
Yeah. He's been a guest on our show a number of times, and this is the first time I ever caught him mid chore.
Now he's like grinning and pointing at the house.
All right, I'll be back.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
All right, let's try one more time. Michael, do we have you on the line? Michael, are you there?
No, he's not.
Okay, we'll run another commercial.
Our yard is big.
I guess so. We'll be back in just a sec.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Welcome back, everyone. We're still trying to get Michael Kravitz on the line here. Michael, are you there?
Give him one more minute.
One more minute. Okay, one more ad. We'll be right back.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We're trying to get Michael Kravitz on the line to discuss what's happening on the international scene, as well as what's going on with medical marijuana access for our veterans. As we called him, he was out mowing his lawn, and apparently it's a very, very big lawn, but now we got you. Michael, how you doing?
That's the thing about living in the mountains. If you don't keep up with the grass, you wind up with woods right out your door.
That's what I hear. And our chat room was saying, yeah, fresh grass, man, fresh grass. Oh, boy.
No comment.
Yeah. We got so much to talk about and kind of running out of time to talk about it, but let's get as much as we can. You wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on with the UN with regards to cannabis. So what's the latest?
Well, years ago, it sounds like some sort of years ago, Japan and Azerbaijan initiated a resolution in the United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs on cannabis seeds. You remember they were alarmed at high-potency cannabis seeds that their young people were buying on the Internet.
Right.
That started a process with the World Health Organization to do a review. And the way the UN's supposed to work is the World Health Organization reviews a substance, talks about the medicinal aspects of it, the pros and cons, the good, the bad, all the evidence, weighs it very carefully and produces a report. And based on their recommendations, then the Commission on Narcotic Drugs sets up policy. That's kind of been broken, and there's been a battle between the World Health Organization and the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Perfect example of this was this last year. China was trying to schedule ketamine. Ketamine is evidently not scheduled, and evidently it's very valuable in many parts of the world where there's no electricity in operating rooms, and ketamine is the only bloody thing they can use for an anesthetic. And again, evidently, the World Health Organization feels that just scheduling ketamine would make it harder for people to get. What a great argument against the current regime of scheduling at the treaty level.
Yeah.
So anyway, the World Health Organization is trying to review cannabis. They finally have been given the funding. They finally have been given the green light, and they're working on that. And as if that wasn't big enough news, that's occurring essentially right now. We have the World Summit on Drugs, where the whole world comes together and decides whether they're going to continue on the treaty path, this international drug control treaty, single convention, as it's called, path that we've been on since the 60s, since Anslinger's time. And I think finally it's hitting a bump in the road. You know, last time they had a drug summit in 1998, the Drug Policy Alliance, then I think it was called the Drug Policy Foundation, just recently was called the Lindesmith Center. And they had a letter in the New York Times, full page ad, two pages. We now believe the war on drugs is causing more harm than the drugs themselves.
Mm.
And that really set the tone for 1998. Kind of harm reduction decade, where they by now have kind of embraced harm reduction, and now we're looking at this next World Drug Summit on the 17th to 21st of April, 2016. Get that, 420, 2016.
Yeah.
The eyes of the world are going to converge on New York City, on the World Drug Summit, and the cannabis world is going to be well represented. We have Uruguay, and grudgingly, maybe reluctantly, the United States is being dragged into that side of the ring on the favor of legalization, and I don't need to tell you why.
Oh, yeah. I mean, between four legal states already, Ohio 2015, California, Arizona, Nevada, Michigan possibly 2016, Florida medical. I mean, my God, yeah. How can the United States not get involved in this?
Yep. And what's really interesting, it all comes down to, evidently, the interpretation of flexibility. It kind of reminds you of back in the Clinton days, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the definition of they or if or whatever it was that came up in his time. So what it is our president, our executive branch, our country, represented by Undersecretary Brownfield, who, if you recognize the name, he was the guy in charge of Plan Colombia back in the day. Now he's in charge of talking to the UN and explaining to them why our marijuana policy is okay.
Wow.
So he's actually come up with something we lovingly call the Brownfield Doctrine, which embraces the flexibility in the treaty, allowing for legalization as a experiment. Of course, the United States would have been the first to say that no such flexibility existed if this came up 10 years earlier and it was someone else.
Right.
But this is now, and this is us. And the interesting thing is, Uruguay just went to New York to a big mini meetings. The General Assembly in New York City has taken up the issue of drugs and had a couple of meetings. And Uruguay got up and said, hey, if you are going to use the flexibility of the treaty to allow for countries to have the death penalty on drugs, evidently that's not really called for by the treaty. That's the flexibility of the treaty to allow them to kill people in the name of drugs. They've done it every year on World Drug Days for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They said that, hey, we can certainly legalize marijuana and have that be within the flexibility. So that argument just took me by storm. I think it's wonderful.
That's amazing. It's just amazing that these, you know, 1961 and 78 treaties that, you know, Anslinger and his successors foisted upon the world to force them to get into American prohibition. Now America has to say, well, flexible, man. Let's be a little flexible here.
It totally reminds me of the, you know, back in the days. Tell me if this doesn't ring true for you. You know, a little kid, we're all playing some sort of football on the playground after school, and the kid that owns the ball, you know, comes up with some kind of ridiculous rule, and then by the end of the game, the rule bites him in the butt, and he has to stick by it. You know, it's just
amazing.
Some kind of strange karmic rule.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the United States and what's going on with medical marijuana, because we're always looking at how those laws impact veterans. There's a recent action in our federal Congress to allow the VA to doctors to recommend cannabis. And a couple of the states now have made some provisions as well. What can you tell us?
Well, it's all been sort of one concerted group effort. And what Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access has done is try to work in the various states to either create a medical marijuana program, North Carolina, Kentucky, Virginia, Arkansas, Pennsylvania, et cetera, or to try to tune the medical marijuana law so that it would allow for the conditions that veterans commonly suffer from, like post-traumatic stress, pain, even cancer. But cancer is usually, you know, not something we have to fight about. It's usually already incorporated by the time we show up to the discussion. But we've been fighting over it in Maryland. We still have the rules coming out there. In Illinois, we're duking it out and trying to see whether it's going to be a legislative option or a commission that's going to allow for post-traumatic stress. We just got post-traumatic stress added in Washington State, as well as TBI, traumatic brain injury. But that was a kind of a bittersweet victory, as again, you well know. That bill really wasn't such a great thing. And as a matter of fact, VMCA wrote a letter to the governor asking to veto the bloody thing, or veto certainly the sections that were so onerous. And believe it or not, we're still duking it out in Colorado to add post-traumatic stress. I know that's surreal. You know, the states that have legalized marijuana, we're still fighting to add conditions.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is. And Illinois, I was just coming from there and got a really good effort in the legislature as well as the commission there to add post-traumatic stress. Guam just came online. They have post-traumatic stress. And I've been given a kind of a challenge to any veteran to try to not be qualified when they see a doctor outside the VA in D.C. because
yeah.
They're saying that their program's up and running, and anybody that's really suffering, according to the original intent of the old D.C. law, will be able to get a card.
Wow.
So that's kind of the lay of the land off the top of my head.
All right. Well, Michael Kravitz, thank you so much for filling us in. Give us the latest details, and we'll schedule another talk. We can do a little longer, and the grass
will... Yeah, we'll have to get back and talk about the federal stuff and the VA. I kind of left that for later.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe even next week, man. I got some slots open, but we want to make sure that you're not... deluged by a forest out there of grass.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Sorry about that, man. It's hard to coordinate one hat with the other when the one hat is outside in the trees.
Yeah, I dig. All right, man. Thanks so much, and I'll be back in touch with you on email. We'll get another set up here, and we'll do a longer bit. Okay.
Sounds great. Have the best day, everybody.
All right. All right, the Radical Rant is next. We're going back to Ohio. Stick around.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Does responsible Ohio suck worse than marijuana prohibition? My friend John Getman has written an excellent analysis of the plan to legalize marijuana in Ohio. It's up on hightimes.com right now, and this article's being forwarded to me by social media by folks who hate Responsible Ohio's legalization plan for 2015 and hate more the fact that I'm telling people to vote for it. Let's catch everyone up. Responsible Ohio is the group that's collected far more signatures than necessary to place marijuana legalization on the 2015 ballot. Not 2016, but this very November 3rd, about 6 months from now, Ohio could be a legal marijuana state before California. Who would have ever predicted that? Now, as Getman explains it, quote, "The group has proposed that marijuana be legalized in Ohio in a three-tiered commercial system consisting of retail outlets, manufacturers of cannabis products, and a limited number of wholesalers. That is, them. Only them." End quote. And he's right. Only the 10 rich investor groups would be written into the Constitution as the sole wholesalers of commercial marijuana. Now, this setup has forced cannabis aficionados to learn the word oligopoly. Essentially, what is proposed here is a marijuana cultivation cartel for the state of Ohio. And the idea that just 10 rich guys are going to be the only legal commercial growers of cannabis has activists inside and outside Ohio frothing at the mouth in denunciation of legalizing marijuana in Ohio in 2015. To me, it all sounds like campaigning to continue locking up mostly black and brown marijuana consumers in Ohio because not enough cannabis growers will get rich. Now, I'm really torn about this proposal. From a business standpoint, it's the shittiest form of legalization yet proposed. But from a civil rights standpoint, it's long past time to remove this means of oppression from the toolkit of brutal, racist police. The primary reasons I support Responsible Ohio is that its good parts are decent marijuana legalization, and its bad part sucks less than marijuana prohibition. I try to think about this from the point of view of all the stakeholders in Ohio legalization. Let's start with the dudette, or dude, who just wants to smoke herb and not be busted. Well, today in Ohio, possession of up to 100 grams, or about 3.5 ounces, is a minor misdemeanor. This is popularly called decriminalization, and Normal's website says that a minor misdemeanor does not create a criminal record in Ohio. However, this does not seem to be the case. As Ohio expungement law writes, quote, there's a website, quote, "A conviction from a minor misdemeanor offense in Ohio does not result in jail time, but rather these charges are punishable by a fine only, and in a few cases, a license suspension. However, we regularly receive phone calls from people who have been convicted of minor misdemeanor in their past, but now that old conviction is creating serious problems for their career." End quote. So today, our dude or dudette caught with personal amounts of weed is going to be fined $150, probably another $150 for the paraphernalia, lose driving privileges for at least 6 months, and have a record of a drug conviction that affects career prospects that will take time and money to get expunged. A similar punishment exists for sharing 20 grams or less with an adult friend. Puff, puff, pass. Get caught sharing a second time and you get 30 days in jail. Share more than 20 grams and you're looking at a felony with a year in prison. But when a responsible Ohio passes, an ounce of marijuana is legal. That means it is no longer contraband, which means the smell or sight of it is no longer probable cause for police to begin detaining and searching our dude or dudette in the first place. It means pot-sniffing dogs get retired just like they have in Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. It means our dude or dudette can use paraphernalia and share up to an ounce with adult friends with no penalty whatsoever. I also find nothing in the amendment that revokes the current Ohio minor misdemeanor for amounts between an ounce and 100 grams. So you'd still have that up to 3.5 ounces where you're just getting a fine and not an arrest. And even better, responsible Ohio defines hashish and extracts within its 1 ounce legal possession limit. Currently, possession of just 10 grams of extract in Ohio is a felony that gets our dude or dudette a year in prison and a $2,500 fine. 5 grams will get our dude or dudette a 30-day misdemeanor, and even less than 5 grams gets our dude or dudette the same minor misdemeanor that's currently set up for 100 grams of herb. But what if our dude or dudette wants to grow cannabis at home? Well, currently under Ohio law, cultivation is treated as possession, with the weight of your plants triggering the punishment. So, if our dude or dudette has a little seedling weighing less than 100 grams, it's a minor misdemeanor. A 200-gram plant is a 30-day misdemeanor. Over 200 grams in plants is a felony that ranges from 6 months to 8 years, depending on the total plant weight. Under Responsible Ohio, our dude or dudette can get a home grow license for $50 and be free to grow 4 cannabis plants. And that's still illegal in Washington. And produce and possess up to 8 ounces of marijuana, just like Oregon, at home. Our dude or dudette can freely share those 8 ounces with other adults. It also means that the various clues revealing cannabis production, a skunky smell, trips to the grow shop, purchases of lights, stems and leaves in the garbage, electric bills, infrared scans, and so forth, are no longer probable cause for cops to obtain search warrants. Now, I don't like the requirement of having to get a home grow license, but I like it more than SWAT teams breaking down the door and shooting the family pets. And for those who'd continue their commercial guerrilla grows without getting the license, passing Responsible Ohio removes many of the probable cause risks. It certainly doesn't make illegal growing more risky. I mean, who's going to know that you have more than 4 plants in your enclosed, locked grow that's out of public view? And how would they find that out any easier than they can find out your illegal grow now? Look, for decades now, growing any cannabis plants for any purpose was strictly forbidden by the state of Ohio. Any grower is risking serious prison time. And even Gettman agrees with me that mandating 10 legal cartel growers won't stop illegal grows any more than Prohibition did. He writes, quote, "Criminal law has been unable to restrict cultivation activity. How can anyone argue that any sort of closed market can successfully monopolize marijuana cultivation?" End quote. Now, our dude or dudette is covered for possessing and sharing marijuana and concentrates and cultivating personal cannabis plants. But what about getting in on the green rush and starting a marijuana business? Well, Responsible Ohio opens up the entire spectrum of legally licensed business opportunities, including marijuana product manufacturing facilities, they call them MPMs, retail marijuana stores, pot shops, they call them RMSs, and marijuana testing facilities, they call them MTFs. Now, almost any dude or dudette would be welcome to apply for such a business license. They do have some criminal checks, you know, felony stuff that you can't have. But so long as that dude or dudette comes up with the $25,000 fee for an MPM or the $10,000 fee for the RMS or MTF. Now, if the complaint about Responsible Ohio is that only 10 rich investors get to make money on the marijuana growth, cultivation, and extraction facilities, the MGCEs, why is a five-figure fee for the other facilities not also criticized as a giveaway only to the rich? I don't know about you, I ain't got $25,000 on me. Well, if you did that, then the people denigrating Responsible Ohio would also have to denigrate the five-figure fees necessary to open such a business in Colorado, as well as medical businesses in most of the medical marijuana states. As it turns out, you pretty much have to be a rich person in almost any of the legal marijuana jurisdictions to have a serious shot at making money on growing and selling weed legally. Oh, and speaking of medical marijuana, Responsible Ohio creates that too. There will be not-for-profit medical marijuana dispensaries, or MMDs, that serve patients. The typical eight conditions will qualify: cancer, AIDS, glaucoma, and conditions causing cachexia, spasm, seizures, nausea, and pain, as well as PTSD, Crohn's, hepatitis C, and sickle cell anemia that are only covered in a few of the 23 medical marijuana states. Patients will be able to grow their own medicine, something that's forbidden in 11 medical marijuana states. Patients will be able to smoke or vaporize marijuana, something forbidden in the last three states to have passed medical marijuana. Medical marijuana wouldn't be taxed, and it must be sold at the lowest wholesale price. And taxes from recreational marijuana would help fund a program to provide medicine to the indigent. It would be the most liberal medical marijuana law passed since Michigan's in 2008. And it would even allow patients to administer their medicine at their workplace, which no other state has ever allowed. So in summary, passage of the Responsible Ohio Legalization Plan would create legalized possession equal to Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. It would create legalized home grow, unlike Washington, equal to Oregon, and a little less than Colorado and Alaska, but with a licensing provision. It would create legalized home possession greater than Washington, equal to Oregon, and less than Colorado and Alaska, but with a licensing provision. It would create legalized extract possession greater than Washington and equal to Oregon, Colorado, and Alaska. It would end the use of drug dogs for cannabis and eliminate most probable cause to harass consumers and growers, just like Washington, Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska. It would create legal retail shops for purchase of cannabis, extracts, edibles, and tinctures, just like Washington, Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska. It would create business opportunities to run a retail shop, a processing facility, or a testing facility, with fees greater than Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, to be sure, but somewhat similar to Colorado. It would create a medical marijuana program with more qualifying conditions than Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and Alaska, greater cultivation allowances than Colorado and Washington, and greater home possession allowances than Washington and Alaska and equal to Oregon's. It would leave intact a system to criminally punish illegal growers who sell that is no worse than the situation now, and enormously better from the perspective of hiding one's illegal activity. So, would you pass all that up simply because only 10 companies get to sell marijuana wholesale? There's no other choice but maintaining prohibition on the 2015 ballot. The two currently competing initiatives have given up for 2015. Now, maybe you're banking on 2016 and figure that, oh, well, another 19,000 possession arrests that are four times more likely to be black people is a small price you won't have to pay in order to get true legalization. Well, good luck with that. One amendment group managed to get 60,000 of the 305,000 signatures needed in about the same time Responsible Ohio got 550,000. Two other groups haven't even got their amendment summaries past the Secretary of State's office. And the only other group is proposing just medical marijuana for 2016. Look, legalization costs money, period. who are going to be the big funders of legalization in Ohio in 2016 when there will have been a high-profile legalization failure in Ohio the year before? Why will these big funders choose to get behind Ohio when Nevada and likely California and Arizona are also on the 2016 ballot needing big funders? How will voters, funders, volunteers, and activists choose which of the four competitors for 2016 to back and not split their resources and ruin all their chances?
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
In 2015 in Ohio, you don't get a vote for the legalization you may want. You get to vote to end prohibition. Or you get to vote with the cops, courts, prisons, and rehabs that want to keep prohibition. The bird in your 2015 hand is worth more than the four birds in your 2016 bush. Don't pass up this.